You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. I really enjoyed my conversation today with Lisa Winning, the founder of He Texted. Follow your heart and stick to the things even if they seem unlikely. I love her motto. And the one success trait that I want you to take away from this conversation is persistence. She had an idea, and because of her persistent spirit, she turned an idea into a growing platform for relationship advice in spite of the naysayers. Also to remember is the importance of a terrific launch strategy, and don't forget that your audience can be found worldwide, so use international coverage to reach that audience. Go on to www.womenpreneursuccess.com/Lisa for show notes, links, and other resources. Also, when you're up there, don't forget to sign up for our Womenpreneur Success e-zine, where we feature our awesome woman entrepreneur of the week. All right, so let's get right into it with Lisa Winning. So excited today to have with us Lisa Winning, the founder and CEO of He Texted. Lisa Winning is a tech media entrepreneur as well as a board member of the Youth Assembly at the United Nations and Pride Live Nation. Originally from Sydney, Lisa graduated from the London School of Economics before moving to New York to launch her first venture, He Texted. As an advice platform, He Texted is represented by William Morris Endeavor and has book deals with Simon & Schuster and Penguin Random House. Backed by New York Angels and 500 startups, the company gives situation-based advice. Lisa is committed to social entrepreneurship and is on the junior committee of the Clinton Foundation's Millennium Network. Welcome, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Smita. Thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be here with you.
Thanks. We are excited to have you. You've come a long way from Sydney to London to New York. Tell us a little bit about your journey, Lisa. How did you start He Texted?
I feel really lucky, and I guess it was kind of just a bit of a lesson in following your heart and sticking with things, even when they seem really unlikely. But basically, I had the idea for He Texted while I was back in Sydney, and I just kept seeing this same pattern over and over again, which was young women sharing their questions, mm-hmm. sharing their ideas, and looking for answers, really. And so I'd lived in the Middle East for a little bit previously, and had also been to New York and London, and it seemed like it was the kind of idea that would resonate with women everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I packed up my things and headed across to New York with really sort of no idea how to build the platform, certainly no experience in technology. And gosh, like it was just, you know, I guess persistence, and also reaching out and asking a lot of people for help. So yeah, the company's been around for a couple of years now, and I still feel like we just started. Yeah, it's been awesome.
Follow your heart. That is so important. I mean, sometimes you don't know where your passions and where your that idea in your mind can take you. And for you, it brought you to New York. So that's awesome. And so you had no experience in tech.
Correct.
Wow.
It was, I mean, in terms of making a bet, it was probably, you know, the riskiest, sort of craziest thing ever. But I just had this feeling if there was a way we could build the platform, that women would really want to use it and that it would resonate with them. And I also had a feeling that we could do subsequent media deals off it. Nice. So where I got really lucky was someone suggested to me, as I'd built the beta product, mm-hmm. someone suggested that I could meet with a girl working over at Glamour. Mm-hmm. who was a beauty editor at the time, and sort of ask her advice about the product and also see whether one day someone at Condé Nast might be interested in writing about Who Texted. So we had lunch in the cafeteria at Condé Nast, and I met Carrie, and she leaned across the table and she was like, you know what? I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to come with you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so awesome. And it was the first real turning point where it was someone who believed enough to drop everything. And yeah, because previously I told thought the whole thing sounded crazy. So yeah, that was definitely a real sort of turning point where we started to gain some real strength.
So let me circle back a little bit. Tell us, what is He Texted?
Sure. So it's really simple. It's a situation-based advice platform, as in you're going through a situation, it's specific to you, and you want answers. And the primary focus is dating and relationships, because we find these are topics that women really care about, that they want to talk about, and that they, I guess, they're looking for validation or looking for answers and a sense of community. So users can either ask public questions and get public advice, or they can go and ask one of our advisors for private advice. It could be anything like, I'm thinking of leaving my boyfriend, but I'm not sure how to do it. Or we get thousands and thousands of Tinder questions nowadays. So it's, yeah, it's
nice. So when you did your, when you created your beta product and you said you had no experience in tech, how did you go about that whole process? I mean, did you find freelancers and you kind of gave them your idea and how you wanted it and you went through iterations, and how did you do it?
So the first place I started was going to the New York tech meetups. And they're usually within, you know, most cities that you may be in. And you go along and you tell everyone your crazy idea and you see if there's anyone who's willing to work on it. So yeah, it was 100% bootstrapped. And we ended up finding a developer and he built the first version. That seemed to be enough to get all of our family and friends on there and testing the product.
So when did you realize that, okay, great, now the beta product is kind of sort of ready and you've gotten some, I guess, users on it. When did you realize that you needed money to grow this thing? And, you know, how did you start looking for funding? Where did you go?
It was actually the craziest story. So we had 36 users in our beta, and then we knew we wanted to launch big and to launch, you know, as strongly as possible. And so we gave the pre-launch story to the Wall Street Journal and they really kindly wrote about us. It meant though that on the day we launched, we had 180,000 users on the platform. So it scaled from 36 people, which was, you know, our moms and our girlfriends, to a much bigger audience very quickly.
And then
we needed to raise money, and to raise money in a hurry, because as you can imagine, servers were really expensive. And of course, we also needed developers on hand to help us with everything. So being in New York, we'd heard that the New York Angels were a really great source of funding. And we approached them directly. And then, I mean, I guess I'm making it sound simple, but we were lucky enough to be able to work with them, and they backed us right from the beginning.
Nice. So were they the first, you know, New York Angels were the first ones that you approached? So you kind of knew who you wanted to go for.
We did, but I'm leaving out that previously in the summer, while we were still in beta, we took a couple meetings with venture capitalists in New York, and these guys had no idea what we were doing. I remember a couple of them, I mean, they certainly weren't interested, and a couple of them were like, do you really think any women are going to use this platform? And we were like, yes we do. And then as soon as we had that traction after launch, it became a lot easier. We had all different parties interested. So it was really the traction that was the turning point.
And I think also the right fit, right? I mean, every venture capitalist out there or every angel, the funder out there is not, may not be the right fit for you. The fact that you went to New York Angels, so you kind of did your research, you knew what you were looking for, the kind of people that you were looking for. Now, do they advise you at this point or are they hands off?
We work with, so Alicia Serrett, who is the CEO of Pantagruel Capital, and she's on the board of New York Angels, and she's also on the board of He Texted. We work with them really closely, and Alicia's been incredible. It's one of those cases where it's really not just about the strategic investment, but also about all the introductions and having someone who's that well networked, opening up their Rolodex for you and being like, okay, this is who you're going to meet. She's fantastic. She's been a real role model and just incredibly helpful and supportive.
Leveraging your investors in the right way to help you grow is definitely important. Now, when you went to New York Angels and you decided to pitch, how was it? What did you do? What was your story?
It was terrible. Absolutely terrifying. I get really nervous speaking in front of, it's walking into a boardroom and having maybe 50 people standing in front of you, and you're pitching your product, which doesn't necessarily resonate with them. You're talking about something that young women between 18 and 24 typically use, and most of our investors are guys, and they're, you know, sort of more sort of Wall Street oriented. So it was, I was super nervous. And I remember afterwards being like, well, gosh, that went pretty badly, but okay, it's good to try. And then fortunately, I suppose on some level it did resonate, because pretty shortly after that, we were offered a term sheet and began working with our investors. So yeah, it was really lucky. Having said that, I've certainly, you know, been to other meetings or other pitches where it doesn't always work out. And I think the most important thing is just to keep going and to be persistent, to be optimistic about the outcomes.
So what do you think were the highlights of your pitch that you'd like to tell other women entrepreneurs to kind of keep in mind when they go out?
Yes. So Dave McClure from 500 Startups, who also invested in He Texted, says that if you have any traction whatsoever, hit your investors over the head with the traction first off, because obviously, you know, a lot of people have great ideas. You can talk about market fit or a competition slide, but what really hooks investors often will be the traction. Yeah, look at engagement, how many times your users are returning. I can't stress it enough. I think traction is really sort of what to emphasize in your presentation.
Right, because, you know, at the end of the day, numbers don't lie. So if you definitely have, you had that strong pre-launch and, you know, you or the launch, and you had, what, 136,000? Users at that point, that's wonderful. So you obviously had a very strong product to show and to tell them that, hey, don't miss this. What would your advice be to women who may be hesitant to pitch their ideas? Because not a lot of women have, or maybe, you know, they have mental barriers, or they doubt themselves to say, okay, I have this idea, but maybe it's not the right time, or maybe I'm not ready to go out there and do this. What would you say to them?
I think we all doubt ourselves, and I think women are particularly modest, is I guess one way to put it, to go for it. I mean, you have to be brave, and you have to step up and go for it, because I don't know, like it's not going to come to you necessarily, right? So be prepared, obviously, know your numbers really well, and I think, just be as full of confidence as you can, because also perception is so important. So if you're able to speak with passion and confidence, you're halfway there.
Definitely be prepared, but then also have that, bring your passion to the table.
Yes. Nice. Tell an exciting story. Talk about the hardships you've been through and how you're still sticking with it, and create a really big vision as well for people to rally behind and to be excited about.
You went from idea to execution and now you're growing. What do you think are the three most critical steps from inception to execution that every entrepreneur, this is one step that you cannot falter?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the most important is getting people testing your product as early as possible, because often we're just too close to the product to see how people really want to use it and what is most exciting for them or most helpful to them. So get people to use the product, force your friends and family to, if nothing else. And then for us, what was hugely important, I guess this applies to like quite a few web and app startups, is make sure you seed the product before you launch. So create usernames, create all your content, make it look as busy and as full as possible, so that you're not launching with, you know, like no one wants to go to a product that appears to have no other users on it. And then the third thing I think is like, perhaps be international in your outlook if you can, in that obviously the US is such a great market and it's certainly where we wanted to launch, but we feel this is a product that resonates with everyone. So we called the Times of India when we launched, or Le Monde in Paris, to ensure that we had press and traction with women all over the world who were interested in using it. I think, yeah, it's good to be open-minded. Certainly no need to hire a PR agency, but find creative, innovative ways to get yourself ready for that launch.
I think go global is definitely key in today's day and age. Now, when you did your beta product, did you make a lot of changes after?
It looks so ugly. I can't even tell you. And I think even now, most people look at their own products and they're like, oh my gosh, it's never over. And you always want to build more and fix it. But yeah, we did. We kept most of the functionality. Mm-hmm. And then we really just tried to make it a little bit more feminine. I guess also to really ensure that we had sensational content on there. Mm-hmm. So we deliberately... We wanted to create a virality around the content that was on that product.
Most of it was, I guess, feedback from your users?
Yes, exactly.
Very nice.
So, and early on, our users were just our girlfriends. It really was. So we'd invite girls over and we'd be like, tell us what you like, tell us what you hate. It's as simple as that.
Uh-huh. So definitely, I think that's right, because, you know, the more feedback you get, the more, you know, you go out and you do your surveys and you ask, the better fine-tuned your product is. Now, Lisa, did you have any mentors while going through the process? I definitely am really a big proponent of finding the right mentor. So tell us a little bit about, you know, if you had any, how important do you think a role of a mentor is, and where should women go about finding the right kind of mentor?
That's a great question. And I think you're right. Role models and mentors are so important, because you're really looking for someone who sort of has the kind of life that you want to lead, right? And who is making it look like it's fun. And also, I guess, is transparent enough that you realize that that person also has tricky times, just like you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think New York is pushing out a huge number of really awesome female entrepreneurs. And more broadly, I love Sarah Blakely at Spanx. Mm-hmm. She's unreal. The Elizabeth Cutler, who founded SoulCycle, which is now just a phenomenon, she really kindly has just been inspirational to us in demonstrating what it's like to have a business and to keep it going and all of the ups and downs that that encounters. And I guess, you know, to show us that it's possible to get to the point that, you know, she's at with her company, which is just awesome. And then I guess really specifically someone we've worked with closely is Alicia Serrett, who sits on the company's board of directors, and that's lucky because often, you know, you hear from entrepreneurs that their board isn't quite as they would want it to be. Mm-hmm. But she represents our investors, and she's just been a real rock and a real inspiration. Yeah, and just showing you to keep on going and doing your best. And persistence, I think, is something that's really awesome to see in other female role models.
And how would you think a woman entrepreneur approach somebody who she wants to be her mentor? Is there a right way to do it, or just go out and ask? And then, well, if they're too busy, then kind of see who else would fit your criteria and then go for them?
Yeah, I think look for women you admire and who are working, I guess, somewhat closely to you, so that it's not such a leap that neither of you can relate. And then maybe quite organically, I don't know if I would necessarily approach them formally and ask mm-hmm. for them to be a mentor, but it's more just keeping those conversations going. Or when you're having a really tricky couple of days and you're not sure whether you're executing very well, which I think is something, you know, we all go through, reaching out and asking, you know, whether they've ever had that experience, and, you know, perhaps can you meet for coffee? Or I think, yeah, maybe keeping it organic and a real relationship is something that's probably quite achievable.
So if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice about funding or money, what would it be, Lisa?
Gosh, that's a really good question. Well, everyone says this, but make sure you look for people that you really want to work with and who are going to be excited to work with you, because it's a, you know, it's a pretty long-term relationship, and you are definitely going to go through tricky periods when you'll have to break news that isn't necessarily exactly what they want to hear, or similarly, perhaps maybe they're telling you something that you don't want to hear. So it's got to be the right people, and people you can see yourself working with over years, I would say.
Awesome. I loved everything you told us, and I think it's so valuable. We are ready to step into our lightning round. Are you ready?
I think I am. I'm ready.
Okay. So Lisa, what trophy would you want on your mantle?
Oh, wow. I think something around social entrepreneurship. I'm really passionate about emerging market entrepreneurs coming to the US and even coming to the UK. I'm from Australia, so it's, you know, obviously still quite well connected, but I think of, I recently met a Kenyan team who come across to the US and who are just doing amazing work. And yeah, I think that inspires me more than anything else.
And you're close too with, you know, with the UN Youth Assembly and all of those. So great. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh my God, the Daily Mail. It's the most genius and addictive website in the world. And yet simultaneously, like, probably has very little value add.
What are you reading currently?
I'm reading The Art of War by Sun Tzu again, just because it's, I really like all the work around perception and that so much is won in your mind, I suppose, and preparing for things that way.
Yes. The War of Art is a great, great book. What is your one productivity hack?
Transcendental meditation actually has been hugely helpful to me, and I started practicing it just before launching the company. It's something I do daily, and I would say it's life-altering.
Awesome. I'm so intrigued. I've always wanted to find out more about that, so I need to go find out, because I try to do regular meditation, and then I've heard so much about TM. So did you go out and take classes and then now you do it at home?
Exactly. So I think it's 3 or 4 days in classes, and then you practice it every day. And it's one of those funny things where now you sort of hear about everyone doing it, from Ray Dalio at Bridgewater to half of Silicon Valley. So it's definitely having a moment.
It is. But I've heard it's been there forever.
Yes, exactly. And I'm sure there are all different techniques to reach that, you know, sort of various productivity hacks. But yeah, TM's been amazing.
And what is your one personal motto?
I think just go for it, because you, like we all, you know, sort of, you want to burn brightly, like no matter how long you have, right, in this life. So I think just don't let anything hold you back and be brave is what my mother always says whenever I'm like feeling nervous about something. She says, just be brave.
Awesome. And last but not the least, any advice you'd wish you'd had or followed?
Well, you know what? We had a lot of advice early on to give up. It was too ridiculous to pursue. And I'm glad, because I think we can also get bad advice sometimes from, you know, very well-meaning people. But just go with your heart. And if something doesn't resonate with you that someone's telling you, then that's probably for a reason. And just keep on going with your heart.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lisa, for taking the time out and talking to us today. We are so happy that you came and gave us so much valuable advice, and we will be following you on He Texted.
Thank you so much, Smita. It was really good fun coming on and hearing your thoughts and ideas. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa.
Another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.